The scripture passage is Luke 17. We're going to read verses 11 through 19. This is Jesus has just talked about a servant who does what his master expected. And now we pick up our reading at 11. We're only doing what is our duty, he said. And now in verse 11, we see a servant who does more than what was expected. Luke chapter 17 at verse 11, it says, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" We end our reading there at the end of verse 19. Lord, bless our time in your word now. We pray that our hearts would be soft to you, our minds alert. Lord, we're trusting that you will speak to our hearts today. And as you do, our lives will be conformed into the image of Jesus, our Savior, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. I would like to count sometimes how many times I hear someone in a store say thank you. Happens all the time, doesn't it? In fact, there's many of us here who could say thank you in many different languages. It's a word that we tend to use a lot, even in different languages. And you all know your mom or dad's famous cue. Now, what do you say? Thank you. Thank you. It doesn't take much to say it. The text before us asks us to examine it more closely. Luke has given in this gospel an orderly account. At this point in his ministry, as I said before, he had just talked about a servant who was doing his duty, but he was also on his way to Jerusalem, and we know what happens at Jerusalem. It's there that Jesus would give his life. So with that in mind, Jesus is meeting with these lepers, these folk who stood in need of healing. Here's one who praised God. Here's one who thanked Jesus. Now, this is the only account of someone who had been healed by Jesus returning to give thanks. We don't think that everyone else was unthankful. No, we believe that they were thankful. Surely there were others who expressed gratitude. But here, just like his first disciples, we're given a lesson. We see the importance Jesus places on having a faith that says thank you. What about you? Like this one who was healed of leprosy, are you leaving a legacy of gratitude? First off, let's look at the folk who had leprosy. They cried out to Jesus. Let's look at their cry. They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy." Now, you know that Samaritans were Samaritans and Jews were Jews. And you didn't mix. The two, under normal circumstances, would not have even spoken to each other, would not find themselves on the same path with each other. Not until something tragic happens. And here we see a diverse group. Under any other circumstances, they would not have been together. But in that day, they were united by a common bond, leprosy. When you had leprosy, you were pretty much down and out for the rest of your life. And you knew it. When you had leprosy, you knew you were a wretch. No doubt about it. In fact, we see much the same in each of the 10 that came to Jesus. They were all afflicted with this dreaded disease They were all determined to do something about it, and they agreed to go and meet Jesus. These had faith to pray, verse 13. They cried out to Jesus, as well as someone afflicted with leprosy could cry out. By law, they had to stand away at a distance, and they cried with hoarse, quiet voices, "Jesus, Master, have mercy." Their cry revealed that they had some knowledge. They knew the Lord's name. They had some idea of his authority. They knew he had the ability to heal. And they hoped that he would have mercy, that he would have pity on them. Cries from hearts that were desperate for healing. Cries from hearts that were very much aware of their need, of the reality of their disease. They cried out, "Have mercy." And here's what Jesus said in reply. Jesus' reply, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Remember, Pastor Brian preached a message not long ago where it was incorporated into the text that he chose that Jesus also asked someone else to go show himself to the priest, a leper that was healed of leprosy. Jesus looks, he gives no promise to heal, but he asks that they obey. Here was a test of their trust. They were told to step out in the direction of their healing. You see, lepers went to priests for the purpose of being declared clean, no longer contagious. After they were declared clean, then they could return to their home, and that would have been the first time in a long time that they could be with their families. At times, we too are asked to step out, even though we still feel the weight of our situation. We hear Jesus say, "I forgive you," but how hard is it to walk in the freedom of that forgiveness? We hear the Lord Jesus say, "I am making all things new." And we feel stuck right where we are. Jesus asks that we step into what he's doing in each of our lives. And as they went, the text says, they were cleansed. These had faith to pray. They had faith to act on Jesus' word. But somehow Jesus was looking for something else. The text is clear. Then one of them turned back. In one sense, they all demonstrated faith. They all called on Jesus for mercy. They all obeyed as they went. They found healing. Nine held tight to the blessing with no thought to the giver. For them, Jesus was a means to an end. One of them had thank-filled faith. His physical healing brought him closer to the Lord Jesus. He turned around. He came back in gratitude and worship. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and brothers and sisters, that's a very good place to be. And he thanked Jesus. Only the Samaritan demonstrated the faith that Jesus longed to see. Not just a means to a desired end, a healer for my healing. This man came to know the Savior. He knew Jesus was from God and that God had touched him in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's a faith that gives thanks. He knew healing, yes, but he also came to know Jesus, the healer. Look at verse 19. "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Jesus gave a greater gift. A more fatal leprosy was cured that day. He received the wholeness of salvation. Faith began when he had confidence that Jesus could heal him. His faith increased as he obeyed. It became more certain as he was healed on the way. It deepened as he turned to share his gratitude. It came to fruition when Jesus healed his spirit and was perfected. Listen, his faith was perfected when the man died. And that will happen for you and me too. Our faith will come to fruition on the day that Jesus calls us home or he comes back again. You see, why would Jesus say your faith has healed you when the man had already been healed of his leprosy? It's because something far deeper, far greater had happened. There was an interchange between Jesus and the man wherein he knew this one was not only the one who healed him of his leprosy, but was the source of his life, of his salvation. One day that man's body would be decaying to nothing, yet he would be present with the Lord. The first song we sang this morning, Breathe, and we sang it, I'm desperate for you. We sang the first verse of Amazing Grace, and we said we're wretches apart from Jesus. This man with leprosy knew he could do nothing to procure his healing. It was Jesus' mercy that gave that to him. And you and I stand together today, or we're here together today, and we're acknowledging our great need of the Savior, that we're desperate for Him. And out of that desperation that's fully met in Jesus Christ rises up a gratitude in each of our hearts. And that brings us to the Master's question. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" That question reveals our Savior's heart. He was hurt. Let me put it this way. He wondered in a sad way where the other 9 were. He recognized, he saw, he was hoping for gratitude. So brothers and sisters, faith is more than just believing Jesus can do something for us. It leads us to a relationship with God through Jesus. God desires us to look through the blessings to see their intention, and their intention is to deepen that relationship we have with the Father. Faith is more than just praying for things we need. It's right and good, but that's not all there is. He looks for a faith that realizes His gracious intention behind the gifts. A faith that's come to realize His undeserved love for us. A faith that wells up in praise and thanksgiving. The man is known to this day as the guy who came back to say thank you. We're going to meet him someday in heaven. Oh, you're the guy. Yeah. Is this same thank you legacy being developed in your life? We increase the sweetness of the gifts we've been given, the length of our days, the gifts and abilities God's bestowed upon us, the resources we have. We increase the sweetness of those gifts when we are thankful. The thank you that comes from relationship is what Jesus is looking for. Not the thank you that follows our parents' cue, what do you say? I'm going to read a little bit from God Came Near, and then we're going to listen to a song, and then we're going to pray together. Okay? The hot air hung thickly in the small cemetery chapel. Those who had fans used them to stir the stillness. How many of you remember in church, ladies with the fans? You have to be over 60 to remember. There. Hazel knows how to do it. You can use a bulletin. Those who had fans used them to stir the stillness. It was crowded. The few chairs that had been set out were quickly taken. I found an empty corner off to one side and stood quietly, observing my first funeral in Brazil. On a stand in the midst of the chapel rested the coffin and the body of a woman who had been killed the day before in a car accident. Her name was Donna. I knew her because she was the mother of one of our first converts in Brazil, Caesar. Beside the casket stood Caesar, his sister, other relatives, and someone very special to her family, with the name of Carmelita. She was a tall woman with dark, almost black skin. On this day, her dress was simple and her face solemn. She stared earnestly at the casket with deep-set brown eyes. There was something noble about the way she stood beside the body. She didn't weep openly, as did the rest, nor did she seek comfort from the other mourners. She just stood there, curiously quiet. The night before, I had accompanied Caesar on the delicate task of telling Carmelita that Donna had been killed. As we drove, he explained to me how Carmelita had been adopted into their family. Over 20 years earlier, Caesar's family had visited a small town in the interior of Brazil. There they encountered Carmelita, a 7-year-old orphan living with poverty-stricken relatives. Her mother had been a prostitute. She never knew her father. Upon seeing the child, Donna was touched. She knew that unless someone intervened, little Carmelita was doomed to a life with no love or attention. And because of Donna's compassion, Caesar and his family returned home with a new sister. As I stood in the funeral chapel and looked at Carmelita's face, I tried to imagine the emotion she was feeling, how her life had changed. I wondered if her mind was reliving that childhood memory of climbing into a car and driving away with a strange family. One moment she had been without love, a home, or a future, and the next moment she had all three. My thoughts were interrupted by the noise of shuffling feet. The funeral was over and people were leaving the chapel for the burial. Because of my position in the extreme corner of the building, I was the last to leave, or at least I thought I was. As I was walking out, I heard a soft voice behind me. I turned and saw Carmelita weeping silently at the side of the coffin. Moved, I stood in the chapel doorway and witnessed this touching goodbye. Carmelita was alone for the last time with her adopted mother. There was an earnestness in her eyes. It was as if she had one final task to perform. She didn't wail, nor did she scream with grief. She simply leaned over the casket and caressed it tenderly as if it were the face of her mother, with silent teardrops splashing on the polished wood. She said repeatedly, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." A final farewell of gratitude. Driving home that day, I thought how we in many ways are just like Carmelita. We too were frightened orphans. We too were without tenderness or acceptance. We too were rescued by a compassionate visitor, a generous parent who offered us a home and a name. Our response should be exactly that of Carmelita, a stirring response of heartfelt gratitude for our deliverance. We too should stand in the quiet company of him who saved us and weep tears of gratitude and offer words of thankfulness. As the song is played, I invite you to look at the words up on the screen. Just let the song minister to you and ask Jesus to produce in your heart, or he'll do it. Just ask him to remind you of the things he's done for you. And gratitude will start to rise up. Let's listen.
But I turn
I think what we'll do is just spend some time in quiet. Please pray silently in prayers of gratitude for who Jesus is in your life, the blessings he's bestowed. And then let's purpose to be leaving behind a legacy of gratitude. And let's pray silently. And so, Lord, we come and we say thank you. Thank you for saving us, for making us your dear children, for bestowing on us gifts abundant. And as recipients of so much from your hand, Lord, we're praying that every day you would increase in our spirits the desire to live a life of thanks. Holy Spirit, come in Jesus' name. Amen.